Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The law of the Lord, is it important? Great question for us to look at today. I find it interesting, our Old Testament lesson is about the Ten Commandments. But if you remember from your catechism, they're a little different from what we learned, aren't they? Okay. The numbering is different from what we're used to seeing, but the meat of the information is still there. So today we dealt with the law and the Ten Commandments, and in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, and in our epistle in 19, Christ the wisdom and power of God, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Now look, it's in the epistle lessons, but it's dealing with law, isn't it? But why the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning, he's going to thwart. We'll talk about that a little more in a little bit. And finally, in our gospel lesson, so the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Well, I think we have two threads going on today. First of all, in the Old Testament, in the epistle, we have the thread of law. But in the New Testament, both in the epistle and the gospel, it turns that law into the word of the cross and the word of redemption. Now, in here, I've talked a lot about the proper distinction between law and gospel, which is important. Okay? Some of you have really taken that to heart. One of the things that I do is, I've got a book that says What Luther Says, and it's about this thick. And what it is all the subjects that Luther wrote on and what he had to say about it. I've got two copies of it. I'm going to bring one of them and put them in here. But I looked up what Luther says about law and gospel. And the first I'm going to talk about what he says about law. The prophet begins with a rebuke and corrects the people of their time. This is the preaching of the law. Then they were to prophecy concerning the coming kingdom of Christ. Proper distinction between law and gospel. Okay. The old-time prophets used the law to rebuke, but then they had prophecy about the coming Christ. All right, let's look a little bit more at what he had to say about the law. To be desired, to be justified by the law, oh, I love this, is like counting money out of an empty purse. Like eating out of an empty vessel and drinking from an empty jug. Seeking strength in riches where only weakness and poverty are found. Increasing the load of one who is crushed and breaking down under his burden. Wanting to pay 100 pieces of gold when you do not have even a penny. Taking the garment from a naked person. Oppressing a sick and destitute person with greater infirmity and want, because the law is a yoke for drudges. Gee, Luther, don't hold back. How do you really feel? But now here's his take on the gospel. It's a little different from what I usually preach on. When faith begins from the Holy Spirit, God does not let us alone. Think about that. When faith begins from the Holy Spirit, God does not let us alone. It means he's going to be with us. He lays the Holy Cross upon our back in order to strengthen us and make our faith full of power. The gospel is a powerful word. Therefore, it cannot accomplish its work without opposition. The gospel cannot accomplish its work without opposition. And no one discovers that it possesses such power but he who has experienced it. Remember, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. But he who has experienced it, we have that kind of stuff all the time that is talking to us. Therefore, the gospel is a word of life. It must exercise all its energy in a time of death. If then death and corruption are not at work, the gospel can do nothing. And no one discovers that it possesses such power and is stronger than sin and death. So what's the purpose of the gospel? Be an adversary to what is evil and what is bad. And if there's nothing evil and there's nothing bad, why would we need the gospel? That's a good point, isn't it? So those of us who live in the gospel of the Lord constantly vie with evil in our lives and others. This is the message of the gift of the gospel. And then I added, isn't it? So the gospel is received through the Holy Spirit. Then it goes to work of us, and then we go to work. Yes? Okay, James 2. Faith without works is a dead faith. Is he right? But yet, from what we've just seen, he can't be saved through the law. But yet, the law is important, isn't it? Okay, and I keep on going back to the cross, because what a beautiful message. What we receive. That's gospel, right? Gospel is what we receive. Then what's the law? What we do. However, if we receive gospel and we don't let that gospel flow out of us, then we really received it. No. But the thing is, there is a little bit of a dichotomy there. How many of you don't know what dichotomy means? Be honest. All right. If you try and fit a square peg into a round hole, it don't fit. That's a dichotomy. Okay?
Say it again.
If you try and put a square peg into a round hole and it doesn't fit, is a dichotomy. If you have two opposing viewpoints and both are true, but they disagree with each other, that's a dichotomy. See where I'm going with this? Okay. So if we are to live in the gospel, what about the law? Now, in both of our New Testament readings, Jesus tells us both law and gospel. So if it's out of Jesus' mouth, is it law or is it gospel? Yes. It's both. You can't have the gospel without the law. Now, going back to catechism, what are the three points of the law? Why? Well, first of all, it's a curb to trip over and screw up. Okay? I made a mistake. Okay? It reminds me that I'm a sinner. Then the next thing, it's a mirror. Why? Because you look at it and say, oh, that's a sinner. Of course, when you turn it around, then you're the sinner. But you see what I'm getting at? So we have two things that remind us that we're sinners. The third thing, it's a guide. And what's the guide for? To help us. What else? Say it again.
To lead us to the gospel.
Because without the law, we have no need for the gospel. Without the negativity of the law, we have no need for the gospel. Without the opposition that we find in the law, we have no need for the gospel. See what I'm getting at on that? So for the gospel to be effective, it's got to run against negativity. I bet there's not one person here that's ever thought of it that way. But yet it makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm sitting here, all the heads are going like this. That tells me you're listening, so thank you very much. You know, but as we get into this kind of stuff, my friends, you know, I preach about law and gospel in here a lot. But is it important? Probably one of the most important things we do. So just remember, gospel is what we receive and the law is what we do. But if we're motivated by the gospel to do something, Is it law or gospel? Yes. Because Jesus told us to do it. I really think the difference is our motivation, okay? We as Lutheran Christians, you know, we do things because we want to. We've received the blessing of the cross. And as Luther said, we put that cross on our back, right? Okay, we take that cross with us. But when we do that, we want to share that blessing with those around us. And when we share, is that law or gospel? Yes. But it's an act that you have to do, isn't it? So when we start looking at this kind of thing, law and gospel, they're both needed. You need the gospel to work with an adversary. It needs an opponent. And that opponent is sin, death, and the power of the devil. Because isn't that what is always chasing after us? Which is why we need the gospel. So in our gospel lesson, then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he used a rubber stamp. And he marked paid to all of our sins. So when we work in his name, we are working through that rubber stamp and sharing that paid with those around us. Through the love of Christ and letting it flow out of us through that cross beam on the Lord's cross. May this message of the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.